From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. For Keeps, a shop for rare and classic black books, opened in November on Auburn Avenue in Atlanta. Owner Rosa Duffy wants to make the shop a community space to explore the history of black literature and publishing, and she's joining us now in the studio. Rosa, welcome.
Hi, how are you? Thank you
very
for having me.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. I have to say, we became absolute fans of your Instagram feed when we saw all those great pictures of books.
Thank you so much.
There is a certain aesthetic. It looks to me like there's a lot of 60s and 70s era books. Is that what was the draw for you there?
Yeah, so we definitely have a lot of older books, stuff that's harder to get your hands on than maybe stuff that's been published recently. So yeah, our focus is in 60s, 70s, but we still have stuff that range from then to now. So it's not only that, but it definitely, we cover that as a niche for sure.
So I guess your parents were huge influences on your love of literature.
They definitely were. So my family has very strong roots in the civil rights movement in general. So my grandma on my mom's side was involved very much in the fair housing projects in Minnesota. That's where she lives. She's also very involved in voter representation. My dad helped to build what kind of Black Atlanta is today back when he went to Morehouse. My mom went to Spelman, and she was one of the first Black women to get a dual degree at Spelman and Georgia Tech in STEM. So my family has always been very involved in Black representation and the Black message. And for that reason, you know, Black books are a part of that. So
yeah, so what was the message about the importance of books, especially by Black authors?
Well, I don't know if I was I don't know that I'm acutely aware of how they've involved Black books and their importance in society in general, but Black representation and the Black message was something that was very instilled in me at a young age, and that obviously includes Black books. So my family had a big library. My grandma has still, to this day, has a huge library that I'm still trying to duplicate for the store. So it was everything, not just books, not just imagery, but everything. My dad was also a speechwriter for local Black politicians like Andy and like Maynard Jackson. So, you know, speaking the Black message was also something that was very, very instilled in me at a young age. So books help to represent that.
I like that you call him Andy.
Yeah. Oh, I call him Uncle Andy, actually. But Andrew Young, yes.
So you're deeply steeped in this this part of Atlanta culture, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And which was, of course, all of Atlanta, which is not a sort of niche.
Right.
But how about pivotal books in your life? One that I saw a photograph of was Angela Davis's Women, Race, and Class. What about why did that stick with you?
So Women, Race, and Class was really important to me because I read it at a time that I really needed it. So I lived in New York for 8 years, and around 18 or 19, I read that book when I was starting a project, because I'm an artist as well. I was starting a project called Defend Black Womanhood, and Defend Black Womanhood was where I would weep paste around the city passages from books and photos of young Black men and women killed by the police. So it was to represent and commemorate Black folks that I feel like hadn't been seen at the time because it was so early. Doing that, I felt a lot of things that I didn't necessarily know how to express, and I didn't know that other people had felt these things. So when I read Women, Race, and Class, it helped to reassure me that what I was doing was necessary and that folks had already done it before me. And that's really why I love reading, is because I feel reassured. Really, that's what I tell people, is that I feel like, okay, I'm not alone in this fight. This fight has been done for many, many years, and many people before us have worked very hard to get where we are today. And in order to fulfill what we really want in society, we need to be reading what folks have done before us, the steps they've taken, and kind of take it from there, not just think, you know, I'm the first person to run this rodeo and I know what I'm doing. And I kind of felt reassured and humbled when I read that book. Like, this has already been done. And in order to, you know, fulfill it, you gotta make sure you're paying homage to the folks that have done it before you.
I want to go back to, you said your work as an artist, a lot of your work had been using found paper materials and old newspapers. So not entirely surprising that you found your way here. But how did you go from there to deciding open a bookshop in Atlanta. What was that decision-making process?
So, right. I lived in New York for a long time, like I said, well, 8 years, and I was sourcing materials from everywhere. So, like you said, a lot of periodicals, a lot of old newspapers, from a lot of Atlanta Daily Worlds, everything. I would use everything as a resource for my artwork. And when I would find something new, I would get really, really excited about it, and I would feel like, wow, like I said, I'm represented in a way that I've never seen before. And it ranged from, like I said, periodicals to zines from, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. When I would find something new, I thought, wow, this is such a great feeling. And I knew that other folks would feel the same way. And so I knew that I wanted these things to be shared and not just hoarded and kept to myself. I knew that it could bring a light to other people. If it made me feel this way, it could definitely make other folks feel this way. And that's kind of what led me to opening the store / reading room, is the feeling I felt when I would get my hands on something.
You've also said that you don't really think people have to purchase anything.
Right.
But I'm guessing that was not like the number one point on your business plan.
Right. My number one point wasn't make a profit. Absolutely. But that's obviously important. I want to keep the space open. I want people to be able to come back and over the years. So it's important to make money. But I really want the interaction to happen that has been happening in the store. I've witnessed it over the past month, is that people will come in, they'll read something on those. So we have a table with the materials that aren't for sale, and mm-hmm. we have a few benches with materials that aren't for sale. And people have looked in it and either found a connection to their hometown. You know, there are a lot of folks that aren't from Atlanta, Black folks that are here to, you know, help build a community, and they feel seen here. So they come into the store, they see something, you know, from Kentucky or from Ohio or from, you know, so they make a connection with these rare materials, and then somebody will come in the next day and use the same rare material to make a connection. So I didn't want to sell these things so that there could be multiple connections made and that people could get their hands on stuff that they might not necessarily even realize they want their hands on.
So it's a little bit like a library.
It's a little bit like a library, yeah.
But you can't take the books away.
But you can't take the books home.
You have to stay and hang out.
Yeah.
But I guess that is the point. But some of the books that you have acquired were rare, right? And priced as such. Others buried at the bottom of a bargain bin. So,
right.
So what has that been like to uncover some of these famous authors and put them on display?
I get very excited when I find something that I've been wanting for a while. I just recently found, I already have a copy, but it's my copy at home, Love Poems by Sonia Sanchez. And I wanted another for the store because it made me feel some type of way when I was upset and I read Love Poems, even seeing the cover. And because I'm an artist, the cover is very important to me. So I see them all as little pieces of artwork. And when I found Sonia Sanchez and then realized it was signed inside, I felt like everybody could have a personal moment with the book. That's been really exciting. Even finding classics that different, I have a bunch of the Souls of Black Folks. I have a bunch of different copies with different covers. I just think the whole experience is really exciting and fun.
What's the response from people who come in? I mean, do people walk in off the street?
So my sister actually tweeted it after I only announced that I was opening the store a day before it opened. So I didn't do a great job marketing, but my sister tweeted it out. So we got a lot of response from my sister and her Twitter audience. A lot of folks have come in. Her name's Josie Duffy. I just want to give her a plug. Josie Duffy Rice. But she put it out there. And then a lot of folks have been coming from the street. We did a great sign artist painted our window, and it attracts a lot of people. His name is Lonnie. He did a great job. So a lot of folks have been coming off the street, but Atlanta has been treating me so well. Atlanta already has a sense of appreciation for their Blackness. We already have a huge community here. You know, folks call it the Black Mecca. So I feel very humbled and honored to be on Auburn Ave, which has such a history behind it, and have people come in and be so helpful and loving and encouraging, and also, you know, tell me about their story and their book collections. And it's been very much a give and take. It's not just me putting something in the community that everybody can use. People have given me a whole bunch since I've been there. So it's been great.
That is Atlanta native Rosa Duffy. She's the owner of For Keeps. It's a bookstore of rare and vintage books on Auburn Avenue by African-American artists primarily. but not exclusively.
Right.
Certainly.
It's just about the Black experience.
Exactly. Right. So let's talk about creating that space, however, when you were dreaming of it, what did you want it to feel like?
You said your grandma's library.
Right. So my grandma's library had a lot to do with it, but even I spoke to her about what I wanted the space to be like, and when I was a little bit nervous opening, I asked her, you know, some of her advice, and she was telling me, treat it as your home. So a lot of this stuff you already have at home, you're very familiar with. Just treat it as an extension of your home and you trying to share. And when she said that, it was very, very helpful for me. You know, it helped me grow the store into what I really wanted it to be before I open. So it's just a relaxed setting. I don't want people to feel intimidated by the materials, because I feel like in a lot of spaces, they're behind glass, or they're $800, or they're this, or they're that, and they feel really untouchable. And I wanted it to be a space where there were comfy chairs, a relaxed atmosphere. You know, I play a lot of Charles Mingus in the store because it's relaxing, and, you know, it encourages you to kind of breathe and read and take in the material. So I just wanted it to be comfy. You know, I wanted it to be inviting.
So what are some of the books that have, you know, people have picked up? You said that there are some that you don't sell, but
right.
that people have really responded to.
So I have an old Black Scholar edition, or Black Scholar issue of the Black Scholar magazine. And it has a Shirley Chisholm interview in there about I can't exactly remember, but the response from that article alone has been really big. People have been really, really interested in that. I just put out a small zine called Mainstream, and I think the edition is from the 60s. See, I get new stuff every day, so I get really, every day I'm excited about something new. So I'm talking about my most recent discoveries. And that Mainstream zine has a poem by Patrice Lumumba. So we have a range of everything, and people will sit at the table for, you know, going on. I've had people there until I close. It's just very, you get lost in all the stuff that's provided. And I have a bunch of old Jets too, which
Jet
I didn't
magazine.
Really, a Jet magazine. Uh-huh. I didn't really think that would be something that people responded to like they do, only because it's such a staple in Black homes that I didn't feel like this would be such a surprise to see. But people, I mean, I think it's a bit of nostalgia too. People just really are excited when they see the Jet magazines.
So the Lumumba is one that I saw. It was on the Instagram feed.
Yes.
And if you can just remind listeners, he was a assassinated leader, elected leader of Congo at
right.
the time.
Of
it was
course.
Congo.
Yeah.
So not a figure that a lot of people know. So in a way, you are providing a community space, but is there a teaching sort of angle here? Are you sneakily teaching people?
Well, I definitely want people to expand their idea of Blackness and their idea of Black leaders, because I think, you know, the general population is taught about, two or three very important people. It's not that they're not important, but we've gotten that message over and over, and we understand that message. And in the story, you can learn more about that message. But there's also other people that we need to know about. We need that, you know, the imagery to be broadened and understand that you can be this, you can be that. There's not two people. It's not a binary thing, and you get to choose from these two people, and that those are the people that represent you as a Black person. There's other people to learn from. So yes, absolutely, I do think I just want people to feel seen. That's
so
my whole thing.
It's funny, Rosa, when we were mic checking you, my producer asked, you know, what are you doing afterwards? And you're like, I'm going to open up books and, you know, put the price tags on books. Your life is very different.
Oh, yeah. So it's definitely different. So I've just been ordering I order every day. It's become an issue. And so, yeah, I'm trying to just get all my inventory out. I like people to see all of it.
You're a retailer now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for speaking
thank
with us.
Thank you
and
so much.
Best of luck with the shop.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely beautiful space. Atlanta native Rosa Duffy, owner of For Keeps. It's a bookshop for rare and classic books on Auburn Avenue in Atlanta. The holidays are a time when many of us gather with our families, often around gigantic spreads of food. But for many, especially immigrants, family can be an ocean away. And that is when food and the memories it can prompt become powerful and even more meaningful. GPB's Grant Blankenship brings us this audio postcard about the power of food and nostalgia from the British Tea Room restaurant in the city of Warner Robins.
Flags not flying, we're like the Queen. She's not at Buckingham Palace, and we're not here either. My name is Jeanette Francis. What do? I cook.
38-12, dear, please.
We have a little tea room, and I do all the cooking in the back. I've been here over 30 years right now. Yes, I used to go home and stock up and come back. And then when my parents passed away, I thought, can't get my bisto for my gravy. So I opened the shop. It makes me feel warm and cozy to have a good English meal because you miss it.
It's like looking at old photographs. I am Elizabeth Douglas, or Lizzie Douglas, and I've been working here with Jan for 4 years, nearly 5 years. Deep down, it's the proper English Sunday dinners, roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, roast potatoes, mashed potatoes, as many vegetables as you can get on your plate, and proper meat gravy. It just takes you back. When you do a nice gravy, it takes you back to, like, your mum used to make. And it just gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Things that fly off the shelves right now are sausages, bacon, mince pies.
My mum's still alive. She's 84 on the 6th of December. So that'll be a time when I just want to give my mum a hug. And everybody's fine. It's just, I just miss being with them. As we all do. And to be honest with you, if I hadn't found the British Pantry and Tea Room 4 years ago, whenever it was, then I don't know what I'd have done with my time. It just gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling that you belong.
That was Jeanette Francis, owner of the British Tea Room in Warner Robins, and her friend and employee, Lizzie Douglas, on how food reminds them of home. Just ahead, getting funny with money. This is On Second Thought.